In this session, we shall look at how we calculate death tax on a lifetime transfer, when the original gift was a gift of either agricultural or business property. We will start by looking at BPR and APR on chargeable lifetime transfers. As we know, when an individual makes a gift of business property to a discretionary trust, BPR has to be taken into account when calculating the lifetime tax. As we have already seen, any BPR is given before the annual exemption in arriving at the chargeable lifetime transfer. If the donor dies within 7 years of making the gift to the discretionary trust, additional tax will be payable by the trustees. In this session, we shall look at how we deal with the APR or BPR when calculating the tax on death. If the donor dies within 7 years of making the CLT, the extra tax will be paid by the trustees. Even if agricultural or business property relief was given on the lifetime transfer, it does not necessarily mean that the same relief will be available to the trustees on death. In certain instances, APR or BPR given on a lifetime transfer will be withdrawn on the death of the donor. This withdrawal of relief will most commonly occur if the trustees sell the agricultural or business property before the donor dies. As a general principle, in order for the trustees to receive APR or BPR to reduce the death tax, they must have retained the property until the death of the donor. The APR or BPR will also be withdrawn if the trustees give the property away before the donor dies. A withdrawal of relief will also occur if the agricultural or business property no longer qualifies for APR or BPR at the time of the donor's death. For example, if a donor gives shares in an unquoted trading company to a discretionary trust, BPR at 100% will be available to reduce the value of the lifetime transfer. If the unlisted company subsequently becomes listed on the stock exchange, such that the trustees hold quoted shares at the date of the donor's death, BPR will be withdrawn, as the trustees no longer own relevant business property. There is one occasion when a sale of the assets by the trustees will not lead to withdrawal of business or agricultural property relief. If the trustees sell the assets, then subsequently replace them within 3 years with other business or agricultural property, BPR or APR is retained on the donor's death. In this instance, in order to preserve the APR or BPR, the trustees must reinvest the whole of the original proceeds of sale. A withdrawal of BPR will effectively increase the tax payable by the trustees on the donor's death. It will not affect the original calculation of the lifetime tax, which remains undisturbed. Let us illustrate this by way of an example. Here we have a taxpayer called Michael. Michael owns a building which is used by a company under his control. In June 2005, he gave that building to a discretionary trust when it was worth £600,000. The transfer will qualify for 50% business property relief. After deducting two annual exemptions, Michael is left with a chargeable lifetime transfer of £294,000. This will be subject to lifetime tax. As this is Michael's first lifetime transfer, the full nil band for 2005-06, i.e. £275,000, is available. The tax payable by the trustees on the lifetime transfer is therefore £3,800. As you will see, BPR has been taken into account in calculating the lifetime tax. In October 2008, the trustees sell the property. The sale proceeds are reinvested by the trustees into unit trusts. In May 2010, Michael died. We will therefore need to calculate additional tax on the CLT as a result of the donor's death within 7 years, paying particular attention to the business property relief. We will now calculate the death tax. We start with the chargeable lifetime transfer, which, after BPR and exemptions, was £294,000. However, as the building is not owned by the trustees at the date of the donor's death, any lifetime business property relief will be withdrawn on death. The sale of the building by the trustees will lead to a withdrawal of BPR because the trustees did not reinvest their sale proceeds in other business property. You will remember that they used the money to purchase unit trusts. The way BPR is withdrawn on death is by increasing the chargeable transfer by the amount of the lifetime BPR given.
Therefore, the amount chargeable on the trustees at the date of death increases by £300,000 and is now £594,000. To calculate the additional tax on death, we simply deduct the nil band on death and multiply the excess by 40%. As there are more than 3 years between the date of the gift and the date of death, taper relief will be available.
There are just under 5 years between the date of gift and the date of death, so the taper percentage is 40%. This reduces the death tax to £64,560. Finally, we can take a deduction for the lifetime tax paid on the original gift, which was £3,800, leaving additional tax payable by the trustees of £60,760. As you will see, a withdrawal of BPR on death has increased the tax payable by the trustees, but has had no effect on the original lifetime tax computation.
We now need to consider the effect of the withdrawal of BPR on the donor's cumulative total of lifetime transfers. As in the previous example, when APR or BPR is withdrawn on a chargeable lifetime transfer, for instance, as a result of a sale by the trustees, the original transfer will remain on the donor's clock for IHT purposes.
You will recall that in June 2005, Michael made a chargeable lifetime transfer, after BPR and exemptions, of £294,000. Even though the BPR was withdrawn when calculating the death tax payable by the trustees, this original transfer of £294,000 remains on Michael's clock for accumulation purposes. Therefore, if Michael made another lifetime transfer after June 2005, here we have assumed he made a PET of £50,000, when calculating the tax on this PET, we need to take account of Michael's brought forward total, which here would be £294,000. In this instance, the PET of £50,000 would be chargeable on Michael's death in May 2010.
To calculate the tax, we will start with the nil band at the date of death. Michael's chargeable transfers in the 7 years before the gift are £294,000. This is what we mean by the original transfer remaining on the donor's clock. £31,000 of the nil band remains, leaving £19,000 of the PET to be charged to inheritance tax. Any inheritance tax will be paid by the donee at a rate of 40%. We will now deal with lifetime gifts of business or agricultural property, which are potentially exempt transfers. When an individual makes a gift of business or agricultural property to another individual, i.e. he makes a PET for IHT purposes, we can ignore the APR or BPR during the lifetime of the donor. This is for the simple reason that there is no lifetime tax on a PET, so the amount of any APR or BPR does not need to be considered. We only need to think about the effect of APR or BPR if the PET becomes chargeable as a result of the donor's death within 7 years. As a general principle, if the donee has retained the agricultural or business property at the date of the donor's death, when calculating the donee's death tax, we would give an appropriate amount of APR or BPR. As we saw for chargeable lifetime transfers, if the donee has sold the property before the death of the donor, no BPR or APR will be available to reduce the death tax. Once again, BPR or APR will be retained if the donee sells the original property and uses the whole of this sales proceeds in purchasing a replacement. Similarly, if the assets no longer qualify as relevant business or agricultural property at the donor's death, for example, if the shares become listed on the stock exchange, BPR will be denied on death. Note here, we are not taking away any APR or BPR which was previously given. No APR or BPR is actually given against a PET. Therefore, at the point of death, we simply make a decision as to whether any relief is or is not available.
Again, let us illustrate this by way of an example. Laura owns 10,000 shares in an unquoted trading company called James Limited. In August 2005, Laura gave her 10,000 shares to her son when they were worth £500,000. This gift is a pet for inheritance tax purposes. The gift will potentially qualify for BPR depending on what the son does with Laura's shares. According to HMRC, this pet will utilise any available annual exemptions, despite the fact the transfers of unquoted shares qualify for 100% BPR. As this is a potentially exempt transfer, there is no lifetime tax to consider. Note in this example that there is no point in allocating BPR against the value of transfer. BPR only needs to be considered if Laura dies within 7 years of the gift. In July 2008, Laura's son sells 8,000 shares in James Limited for £600,000. He uses the money to buy a house. In June 2010, Laura dies. The pet, in August 2005, now becomes a chargeable transfer, and Laura's son has a possible inheritance tax liability. We will explore the availability of BPR in calculating this death tax. On Laura's death, the pet in August 2005 becomes chargeable. The shares were worth £500,000 at the date of the gift. BPR will only be available on the shares retained by the son at the date of Laura's death. The son sold 8,000 of the 10,000 shares in July 2008. Therefore, he has retained 2,000 shares out of the 10,000 originally gifted. Therefore, 2/10 of the value of the initial transfer will qualify for BPR.
Transfers of shares in unquoted trading companies qualify for BPR at 100%. The BPR therefore available to reduce the transfer on death is £100,000. If the son had retained all of the shares, full BPR of £500,000 would have been available. Similarly, if the son had sold all of the shares, no BPR would have been available. In this case, as the son has retained some of the shares, he will receive BPR on those shares that he has kept. Against this transfer of £400,000, two annual exemptions will be available. The amount of the pet chargeable to inheritance tax on the death of Laura is therefore £394,000.
As this was Laura's only lifetime transfer, the full nil band will be available on death. The excess is charged at the death rate of 40%, giving tax of £27,600. As there are between 4 and 5 years between the date of gift and the date of death, this tax can be reduced by 40% taper relief. The tax payable by Laura's son on the gift of the shares is therefore £16,560. Therefore, if a donee receives a gift of business property from a donor, for tax planning purposes, it is important that the donee does not sell the property until after the donor has died. In this instance, the sale of the shares by Laura's son in July 2008 has had the effect of generating a substantial IHT charge on Laura's death. Finally, in this session, let us consider the effect that a denial of BPR will have on the donor's cumulative total. In the case of pets, the new figure, i.e. the amount of the pet ultimately charged to inheritance tax, goes on to the donor's IHT clock for accumulation purposes. In the previous example, Laura made a gift of shares to her son in August 2005. Laura died in June 2010, such that this pet became chargeable. As the son had retained 20% of the shares, £100,000 of BPR was given on death. After taking two annual exemptions, a pet of £394,000 was chargeable on death. It is this figure that will be cumulated for inheritance tax purposes. Therefore, if Laura was to have made another lifetime gift between August 2005 and the date of death, in this instance, we have assumed it was another pet in July 2007. When calculating tax on death, her 7-year cumulative total will be £394,000. Therefore, when calculating any IHT payable by the donee of the second pet in July 2007, we would look back 7 years and see that this previous transfer had utilised the whole of Laura's nil band.
This is a very important distinction. When BPR is withdrawn on a charge of a lifetime transfer, the original transfer remains on the clock for accumulation purposes. However, in the case of a potentially exempt transfer, when BPR is denied on death, it is this new figure, i.e. the amount chargeable to inheritance tax, that goes into the donor's cumulative total.
One miscellaneous point to pick up with regard to the calculations of tax on death involving business property. As a general rule, the donee must hold relevant business property at the date of the donor's death if BPR is to be given when calculating death tax. This does not apply if the original gift was shares in a quoted trading company. For example, assume a taxpayer has a 51% holding in a quoted company called Q PLC. The donor gave a 1% holding in the company to a discretionary trust. When calculating tax on this chargeable lifetime transfer, BPR would be due at a rate of 50%, because the donor had made a transfer out of a controlling holding in a quoted trading company. A few years later, the donor dies, and additional tax is payable by the trustees. What the trustees actually own at the donor's death is a 1% holding of shares in Q PLC. A 1% holding of shares in a quoted trading company is not relevant business property for BPR purposes. However, when calculating the additional tax on death, none of the BPR will be withdrawn because the original gift was shares in a quoted trading company. For those of you familiar with your legislation, this rule is contained in Section 113A of the Inheritance Tax Act.